price my Savior paid. On the cross he chose to stay, as his precious blood flowed freely to the ground. Then the veil was rent in twain, and by grace a way was made to redeem my soul from the law that had me bound. Lord, give me a vision on my heart, a burden laid, so I can see a dying world the way you saw it that day. Give me tears that like your blood flow freely to the ground. Without a vision, souls will perish, and guilty I'll be found. Lord, help me find my Gethsemane and go alone in prayer with thee, till the dawning find me centered in thy will. With broken heart, it's then I'll see the dying lost and cry, Lord, send me. Then with love I'll lead a soul up to Calvary's hill. Lord, give me a vision on my heart, a burden laid, so I can see a dying world the way you saw it that day. Tears that like your blood flow freely to the ground. Without a vision, souls will perish, and guilty I'll be found. Lord, give me a vision on my heart, a burden laid, so I can see a dying world the way you saw it that day. Give me tears that like your blood flow freely to the ground. Without a vision, souls will perish, and guilty I'll be found. Without a vision, souls will perish, and guilty I'll be found.
Man, thank you, man. A lot of truth to that song, based upon scriptural teaching. Well, on this Missions Emphasis Sunday, I want to bring a message to you that God's laid on my heart. I brought some of it a couple of weeks ago, and I know now why God did not allow me to finish that message, and we'll return to the second part of it this morning. Before we do, I asked Pastor David to read in your hearing these what we coin as the Beatitudes. I trust that you've read these and you've looked at them and you remember what we discussed about them. If you'll remember, those first three there were Godward, blessed are the poor in spirit. It speaks about our emptiness. Spiritually, we're bankrupt, brethren. Spiritually. Without God, we have nothing to offer. And then it says in verse number 4, blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. This speaks not of our emptiness, but this speaks of our hurt. This speaks of our brokenness. We're broke. Man is broke. I don't mean financially. I mean spiritually. We're broken. We're empty. We're bankrupt. Look what he said in verse number 5. Blessed are the meek. This speaks of our submissiveness. We need to be yielded. Man in himself is not yielded. Man in himself is rebellious, arrogant. We are teaching our children that they're all that matters. We're teaching our young people, this young generation, you're the big number one. I want to tell you something. God's the big number one. Amen. You say, well, my team's number one. No, God's number one. Amen. We need to get back to that, to teach our young people, to teach this next generation, and to live it in ourselves that God is really, when all is said and done, God is really all that matters. Listen, when this thing winds down, brethren, when it's all said and done, the only thing that's really going to matter is what think ye of Christ? Amen. Whose son is he? Amen. What have you done with Jesus? That's really what's going to matter. Right. And so here he talks about how to become what God intended man to become. We call that character. It's what you are. And here in these first 12 verses, the Lord Jesus, step by step, walks his hearers through character building and becoming what God intended man to be in the outset of creation. And then it switches and it goes from character to conduct, and that's what I want to talk to you about today on this Mission Emphasis Sunday. What can I do for missions? That's a profound question. Missions is a big thing. It's really a small word. It just has a few letters, really. Some are repeated a couple of times. But you take those few letters and you put them together and you have this word missions, but you begin to look at the scope and the span of what God intends with missions. It's not just community-wide or statewide or nationwide. Brethren, this is something that is worldwide, that God wants the whole world to hear. God wants every individual to hear the message of missions. That message is the message of the gospel of Jesus Christ. God wants the whole world to hear that message. And you and I get to be a part of getting that message out in several various ways. Certainly through the missions program, we pray and we give. And through missions, there are those who go. We visited with that family today. And what a family, the McKinley family. What a family they are. Left it all. Went to Ireland. Because they had a burden. God placed a burden in their heart for those there in Ireland. I read the story a couple of weeks ago about a mission family that returned to the States after 8 years on the field in which they had served. And after they returned, someone walked up to them and asked, and said to them, my, how you must love those people there in that area. An area of poverty, an area where there's no gospel, an area where people are out of sort. They have no mindset of who Jesus is and how God must have stirred you to go to those people you love. And that man looked at them and he said, you've mistaken what God has done. God didn't give me a love for those people. God told me to allow him to love those people through me. And that's why I went there. You see, sometimes we think we have to love people to minister to them. Sometimes we think, well, you've got to love them. And listen, that will come. That will come. But when we allow the Spirit of God to move in our hearts, when we allow the Spirit of God to shed His love in our hearts, then we will understand what it is to love people. Brethren, we need to love people the way Jesus loves people. And the only way we'll ever do that is to allow Him to love people through us. Are you open to that? Am I? See, that really is what missions is about. It's about learning to allow Jesus to love through you. We as people can be very unlovable. I didn't say they, I said we. As people can be very unlovable. But I'm glad that God commendeth His love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. See, God loves the unlovable, and God wants to work in my life, and God wants to work in your life to love the unlovable. But the only way that's going to happen is for us to allow God to work in our lives. And so he deals with character, and then he moves in verse number 13 and 14, and he begins to deal with conduct. We talked about salt and some of the things that salt does. And brethren, that's what we are. We are the salt of the earth. Here, the Lord Jesus picks up two groups of people. And I thought about this week how that in light of all that's taken place in our area in particular, but even around our country, a lot of the riots and a lot of the things that are going on trying to stir up racial tension, I thought about how that we view men as this color or this culture or that culture. But when God looks down, he essentially sees two groups of people. And he identifies them here. You say, it must be black and white. No, that's not what God sees. Listen to me. That's what man sees. See, man sees color. Man sees race. Man sees culture. But I'm going to show you what God sees when he looks down on the world that he's made. Look, if you would, in verse number 13. Ye, see, that's the first group of people, are the salt of the earth. That's the second group of people. You say, what do you mean the earth? Well, you see, Jesus is not saying that we're going to preserve the globe. Jesus is not saying that ye are the salt, you are to preserve, you are to minister to the trees or the hills or the mountains or the seas or the lakes or the waters. That's not what he's saying. No, Jesus is saying you're the salt. Ye, believers, are the salt to them that are unbelievers of the earth. He said in verse number 14, ye, again, that group of people, that saved group of people, when God looks down and he looks upon mankind, he sees this group of people. Ye, if you've been saved, if you're part of the family of God, if you have trusted Christ as your Savior, God says, I see that as a group of people. And he says, ye, in verse number 14, are the light of the world. That's another group of people. God does, listen, he's not saying as Christians that you are illuminating the dark street or back alley, the town in which you live, physically or materially speaking. He's talking about spiritually, you are a light unto those that are groping in darkness, people that are in darkness, their foolish mind has been darkened by the God of this world. Now that's what God sees when he looks down on man. He sees those that are saved and those that are not. If we could just get a hold of that and realize, brethren, that God saved us for a purpose, and that is to be an impact, to make a difference in the lives of those that are not saved. And when God is through, and when he has finished with us in that regard, then he'll take us on to heaven, which is our final reward. Amen. That's what this is all about. But he said, as that group of people, ye, you who are saved, you who are my followers, you who know me, as that salt, as that light, there are things that you can do. He said, as salt, you are to slow down corruption. As salt, you are to slow down the corruption of this world. And he said, as light, you are for the world's confusion. And that's what I want to talk to you about today. We live in a confused world. Our world's confused. Brethren, our world is in darkness. And on this Mission Emphasis Sunday, I want you and I to realize that we can do something about it. We can do something about it. We can make a difference. Oh, I know that there are those who say, well, you know, the world's too far gone. America's too far gone. Your county's too far gone. Our churches are too far gone. Listen, when God is involved, nothing's too far gone. You may be praying for somebody right now that, listen, that as the years that you pray, they seem to have gone deeper and deeper and deeper in sin. But don't you ever give up on them, because no man can ever get outside the long arm of God's grace. Amen. You keep praying. You keep telling them. You keep living for Jesus. You keep doing right. You keep salting them. You keep being their light. And God will make a difference in their life. No man ever gets outside the reach of God's grace. You say, I need some proof. You're looking at it. And this morning before you came to church, you looked at it in the mirror. I look back there and I see Buffy's mom. I'm so glad that you got saved, ma'am. I'm glad you trusted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. Amen. Amen. I'm glad you were saved and born again. Amen. That's great. It's a wonderful thing to be a Christian. What are we going to do as lights? Well, let's see what Jesus said. He said, you're the light of the world. Jesus, when he was here upon this earth in John chapter number 9 and verse number 5, he said, I'm the light of the world. But here he said, you are the light of the world. Can I tell you, Jesus is the light, brethren. This world needs light. Why? See, salt is for corruption. And this world is corrupting. And as salt, we are to do some things to prevent and even to slow that down, the corrupting process that this world is going through. And God has us here as a salt. And he spoke about how if salt loses its savior, and we talked about that. But today I want you to look at verse 14 where he said, you're the light of the world. Now what he is inferring here is this world's in darkness. And it is. This world is in darkness. I realize that's a blanket statement, and I realize that when I make that statement that it could entail so many things, but I want to just jog your mind a little bit and get you to think with me about how this world is in darkness. Think about how this world is in darkness intellectually. Now listen to me. How intellectually our world is in darkness. We have a group of people who are professors, who are educators, who are some even preachers. Listen to me now. We have a group of people that are in darkness. They have no idea what life is about, where life come from, where we came from, where we're going, why we're here. They have no idea. Intellectually, our world is in darkness. You begin to talk to the intelligentsia of our world, and they'll tell you, well, you know, we got here by a big bang. Hey, that is darkness. We come, they say, you begin to talk to them about how we got here, and they mention slime, and they mention slug, and they mention washing up on the shore as single cell amoeba and rolling in the sand, or apes, or Neanderthals. Hey, that's darkness. Even a child can take this old book and tell you, no, sir, that is not how we got here. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. And our world is in darkness. We live in a society of educated fools, professing themselves to be wise, Paul said in Romans chapter 1. They became fools. A world of darkness. There's three basic questions that every individual wants to know early on in life and throughout the stage of their life. Write them down. Number one, they want to know, how did I get here? Even at an early age, little children will come up and ask that question. Mommy, how did I get here? And of course, that's mommy's first big dilemma. Amen. Daddy, how did I get here? How did we get here? The three basic fundamental questions that man wants answered. How did I get here? And you talk to those of the world and they'll give you all manner of foolishness. When you can open up your King James Bible and read Genesis chapter 1 verse 1 and you'll find out how you got here. In the beginning, God created. You see, God took and he formed man from the dust of the earth, and the God of heaven, listen to me, breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. That's how we got here. That's how we got here, brethren. God have mercy on this generation of people, this culture of America and our world that has pushed God to the side and is steeped in darkness. Darkness. How did I get here? Where am I going? Oh, well, they say, the intelligent say, well, you know, when you leave here, you're going to come back as something else. You may come back as your dog Toto. You may come back as a cat. You may come back as a cow. You may come back as your Uncle Ben. Hey, hear me now. There's not a word of truth to that. That's foolishness. Then there are those who say, well, you're buried and you're done, it's over. Oh no, it is appointed unto man once to die, and after this, the judgment. Every man will have his day in front of his Maker. Every person will stand before a thrice holy God and give an account to God for the life that God has given him or her. Where did I come from? Where am I going? Why am I here? This world is in darkness. Intellectually speaking, darkness. Turn, if you would, just for a moment to Romans chapter number 1. And God said this was going to happen. God moved upon Paul. Not only as you turn to Romans chapter 1, is our world in darkness intellectually, our world is in darkness morally. My heart grieves over those who live in open sin. Those who name the name of Christ and live in open sin. Those who are outside the body of Christ, living and steeped in sin. Men running around with their wives and wives flirting with other men, and adultery and immorality among our young people. Hey, our world is in darkness morally. There was a day when old-timers like sit in our congregation this morning would throw their hands up and say, what is our world coming to? We've got our young folks shacking up and having sex with one another, man with a woman that's not his wife. But we've come to the place where now men with men and women with women. And what's worse, we got men who want to be women and women who want to be men. We are in darkness. Darkness. Intellectually, morally. Spiritually, you begin to talk to people and you find they couldn't tell you. Listen, they have no idea what a person has to do to get to heaven. You begin to talk to them about the finished work of Jesus and they look at you like a deer in the headlights. They have no idea. We're in darkness. Romans chapter 1, I hope you found your place there. Look with me, if you would, just for a moment in verse number 20. Romans chapter 1, verse number 20, the Bible says, for the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Darkness. We want God out of our schools. We want God out of our homes. We want God out of our country. We want God out of our public places. And now they're crying, let's get God out of our churches. Look, if you would, in verse number 22, professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. Darkness, brethren. Darkness is all around us. Look at verse number 23. Change the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like unto corruptible man, and to birds, and to four-footed beasts, and creeping things. Wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lust of their own hearts, to dishonor their own bodies between themselves. Now don't you tell me that this book that was written hundreds and hundreds of years ago did not just, listen, to the letter define the society we live in today. You want to let God define some more? I'm talking to you about darkness. This world is in darkness, and God said that Jesus is the light, and now he has transferred that light to us, and we are to be a light. Look at verse number 24. 25, it says, who changed the truth of God into a lie. Boy, isn't that so? And worship and serve the creature more than the creator. Got folks chasing a ball on Sunday instead of in the house of God. Shame on you! Chasing a dream, chasing this and chasing that instead of bowing before a thrice holy God. God have mercy on us. We're to be a light. We're to be a light. The Bible says in verse number 20, 5, the latter part of it says that they worship and serve the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. Look at it. Verse 26, for this cause God gave them up unto vile affections. For even their women do change the natural use into that which is against nature. It's happening. Darkness is settling in upon our society. Look at the next verse. Verse 27, and likewise also the men leaving the natural use of the woman. Now, why any man want to do that? I don't know. I think he needs to get his head examined. Let me just change that and be biblically proper. He needs to get his heart examined. You say, preacher, do you hate homosexuals? I hate homosexuality. But I love sinners. And you need to love them too. You say, well, I think you ought to hate homosexuals. You hate adulterers? You say, I don't hate adulterers. Then why do you hate homosexuals? You hate thieves? I hope you don't hate thieves. I hate stealing, but I don't hate thieves. I hope you don't hate thieves. God doesn't hate thieves. Look what the Bible says here. I'm telling you what the Bible says, brethren. We're in darkness. It says here in verse number 27, leaving the natural use of a woman, burned in their lust one toward another, men with men, working which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves that recompense of their error which was meet. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge. We don't want to hear anything about God, your Bible, your church. Right? This is where we are. Paul wrote this hundreds of years ago. He said, it's coming, brethren. Can I tell you it came? We're living in darkness. You say, well, preacher, there must not be a whole lot of hope. You are the hope. We are the hope. You say, well, what about Jesus? He left that assignment to us. He said, I am the light of the world. But now he says, you're the light of the world. You take my message. You take my salvation. You take my word and share it. You take my light and share it with a dark world. Look, if you would. Verse number 28 says, even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient, being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things. Look at it. Disobedient to parents. Without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection, implacable, unmerciful, who knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them. That just about fulfills the definition of darkness, depravity. Man without God, man left to himself, man that said, God, leave us alone, go your way, get out, we don't want any knowledge of you. And God said, I'll oblige, and here we are. But God said, you know what, I've left you there to be a light. Amen. In a dark world. Turn back to Matthew now. I've left you there to be a light. Yes, we are in darkness. And this, listen, the power of light can shine through, brethren. The power of light can shine in the darkness. As we're in darkness intellectually and morally, spiritually. When people say, well, I'm going to do the God thing my way. No, you'll do it God's way or no way. Light. Light. Light dispels darkness. What are we to be, preacher? How can I make a difference in what you just described? I mean, that's a cesspool. That's depravity. What can I do? Be a light. See, I don't do well talking to people. I freeze up when I go to witness and tell people, just be a light. That part will come. Just do right. Amen? Do right. Old Dr. Bob Jones Sr. used to say, do right! Do right! Though the stars fall, do right! Better than if there was ever a day that God's people ought to do right, today's that day. Do what you know to be right by the Word of God. The Word of God. You say, well, who determines what is right? This book determines what is right. Do right. Be a light. Our problem is that we don't know what is right. Our problem as born-again believers, as Christians, is we're not doing what we know to be right. You don't have to talk to too many Christians. Listen, there's not too many Christians that don't know that if you're saved, you ought to be in the house of God. If you're saved, you ought to tithe. If you're saved, you ought to share your faith. Amen. Amen, church. Your lights. Shine as a light. Notice what he said here. He said, not only the power of light that dispels darkness, the power of light that can break through and make a difference. The power of light that can shine in a dark place and can illuminate the things of God. Can I tell you something? If each one of you would be honest this morning, along with me, if we would just search our hearts, when we first got saved, we didn't have to go around telling everyone. Now, you do. When you get saved, you just have to tell people. Hey, man, I mean, you just have to tell them. But if you didn't tell anyone, they would know. You know why? They sang about it this morning. God's Word changes lives. Doesn't it? Isn't it amazing what God's Word does in a life? Amen. And so you get saved and you get in the Word and you sit under Bible teaching and Bible preaching, and God, the Holy Ghost, begins to do a work, a transforming work in your life and a conforming work in our lives to conform us to the image of God's Son, Jesus Christ. And people will begin to say, you know what, something wrong, something different about old Dan. Right? Something different about old brother Eric. Something different with that Eric character. You noticed? They will notice. They'll notice if you're different. If you're different. And if you got saved, you will be different. Amen. You'll be a light. You'll be a light in that darkness. Now, I'm not saying you shouldn't tell it. But I'm saying that if you tell it and it shows, it has a lot more validity to it. If they can see it before you say it, it means a whole lot more. Say amen with me. Amen. So there's the power of light. Now I want to close with this. Where's the places? Where are we to be light? Did you notice what Jesus said here? Look at it if you would. Verse 14. He said, you are the light of the world. You say, now preacher, I can't go around the world. Well, I know that. Now, I tell you, that's why I appreciate a church with a mission program. So I can be a part in getting the gospel out around the world. Amen. No, I can't be in the world, but I can certainly partner with those that go around the world sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ. And I can fulfill what Jesus said I'm to be, the light of the world. But now, let's talk about, that's collectively, that's corporately. Let's talk about individually here just for a moment. Notice what Jesus does here in verse number 14. He said, you're the light of the world. That's talking about the power of light. You can shine in darkness. You can make a difference. But now notice what he said in verse 14. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Now there's two places that are mentioned here that I want you to circle or underline. Okay? Number one, look if you would in verse number 14, a city that is set on a hill. Would you underline that? Where am I to be a light? He said, I'm going to tell you where you can be a light. On the hill. Now listen to me. And then if you look at verse number 15, there's another word that he mentions where we're to be a light. And he said in verse number 15, neither do men light a candle, talking about being a light now, and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in where? The house. So here's two places that Jesus distinctly points out that we're to be a light. Did you get it? On the hill and in the house. On the hill, he's talking about a city. He's talking about a group of people. When you're out there, outside the house, when you're in your job, when you're in the marketplace, when you're at Walmart, when you're at the 7-Eleven, the convenience store, maybe you're taking a walk out in the neighborhood and you see your neighbors, or listen, a city that is set on a hill, when you're outside the house, we're to be a light. No matter where you are, you're a Christian. You say, I'm only a Christian when I'm in church. You got this thing all wrong. A Christian is not what we do. A Christian is what we are. Somebody say amen with me now. Help me out. Listen, we're Christians 24/7. Christians. Doesn't matter where you are, you're a Christian. And Jesus said, when you let your light shine, let it shine no matter where you are. Let your light shine. Amen. On the hill. Let it shine like that city that's on a hill that illuminates everything around it. You ought to illuminate everything that's around you as a Christian. I ought to illuminate everything that's around me as a Christian. I ought to be the breath of fresh air. Amen. Amen. I ought to be a pick-me-up to the people that are around me. Amen. You go into work and they begin to talk about, well, you know, woe is me and this and that and assassinate Trump, whatever they talk about down at your job. Listen, you ought to be a pick-me-up. Don't you get caught up in that. They tell their filthy jokes. They offer you this and they offer you that. What you ought to do is be a pick-me-up. Be a light. You don't have to be mean. You don't have to be vulgar. You don't have to be rude. But you can just tell them, hey, I'm a Christian. I serve Jesus with my life. Been born again, been saved, been converted, my life's been changed. Be a light. Be a light. You say, well, I plan on doing that one day. Why don't you start today? Amen? Start today. You know what this world needs? You know what this world needs? It's in darkness. It needs some more light. Hear me now. This world needs some more light. Are you willing to be a light? Are you willing to do what is right? Are you willing to sell out and serve God with your life? Are you willing to yield your body as members of righteousness unto God? You say, I want to make a difference in the world. Be a light. Be a light. I want to be a voice. You be a light and God will make you a voice. We can reach far more people by what we do than what we say. I'm going to say that again. You'll reach far more people by what you do than what you say. There'll be people I'll never talk to that'll see me from a distance, and I pray that they can read Jesus in my life. There'll be people that you'll never interact with one-on-one, that you'll never have that opportunity to, but as they look at you from a distance, do they see Jesus? I pray that they do. Listen, I'm for confrontational, one-on-one, personal soul winning. But people want to know what you do before they hear what you say. Are you a light on the hill? Am I? God help us to be. Number two, what about in the house? Did you know that Jesus said in Mark chapter 5, this is the first place you ought to be a light? Remember when he saved the man of Gadara? We call him the madman or the maniac. Man who had 12, listen, had legions of devils. He said, go home and tell thy friends. Go home, he said. He said, I want to go with you. Amen. Isn't that what he said? When Jesus said, I want to go with you. He said, no, you go home. You be a light there. Your time to be a light elsewhere will come later. Right? Are you a light at home? Do your children know that God is a priority? Do mine in our lives? Do our children and grandchildren know that Jesus is first in our lives? Can they watch what we do and does it match what we say? Are we one way at the house and another way at the church? Listen to me. Your light is dim. If that is your testimony. But it doesn't have to stay dim. Just like if you'll look back with me in verse number 13, just like salt can lose its savor, light can lose its power and come dim. But it doesn't have to stay that way. God can always restore the fallen back to usefulness. Aren't you glad for that? Praise God for that. I may be speaking to someone here this morning. You say, preacher, I used to shine bright as a light. My testimony has dimmed, and now I feel like I'm a flicker. Can God still use me? You better know He can. God not only can still use you, God desires to use you. That's why He's left you here. He wants to restore you, not only back to a place of fellowship, but back to a place of usefulness, to use you in His service. We need some bright lights in God's army. Let your light shine. You say, preacher, I give to missions. I'm glad that you do. I pray for our missionaries. Thank God for that. As we heard our brother say, they need prayer. Missionaries need prayer. But are you willing to be one? Not just pray for one. Not just give to those that are missionaries. Are you willing to be one on your home front? Are you willing to let your light shine? Am I? Two places on the hill. Look at it now. On the hill, he said. Look at down in verse 14. On the hill. And then he said, in the house. On the hill, I believe, is speaking corporately. In the house, I believe, is speaking individually. I want to show you one other thing, and then I'm going to close today. Look, if you would, hold your place here and turn to Luke chapter number 8. Luke chapter 8. Jesus talks about our light being hid. Did you catch that? He said, your light, don't let it be hid under a bushel. How many of you, as you turn to Luke chapter 8, now I didn't grow up in church. I didn't. I wished I would have. I do. But you know what? I can't change that. It's over and it's done. How many of you grew up in church? You got brought up in Sunday school and in church? Raise your hand. Listen, sometime before the day ends, if you have a mom or a dad that's alive, you ought to hug their neck and say, thank you. Thank you for taking me to Sunday school and church. Amen. If you can't put your arms around them, call them up and just say, I want to thank you. You got in at an early age. You ought to be thankful for that. Now, us that didn't grow up in church, we can't change that, but we can make a difference moving forward. Amen. I'm glad God can use anybody. And God will use you. He will. All right, God has a work for those who grew up in church, and God has a work for we who didn't. And sometimes it's a different type of work, but God wants to reach different types of people. And He can do it by using all of us, all right? Now, here in Luke chapter 8, Jesus kind of elaborates a little bit on hiding that light. Remember when you was a child in Sunday school? Now, I wasn't a child in Sunday school, but I've sang it with the little children, this little light of mine. Remember? Hey, let your light shine. You say, I'm not going to do that. Come on now, don't be too proud. So I'm going to let my light shine. All right. Hey, if you're not willing to let your light shine like this, you just believe me when I tell you, if your heart won't let you hold your light up like that, you're not going to tell anybody about Jesus when you leave church. You got too much pride to hold your little finger up in church. You're not going to open your mouth outside of church about Jesus. This little light of mine, right? Remember singing that? What was that next little phrase? Amen. I'm going to let it shine. And then we'd say what? Hide it under what? Bushel. No. Right? Hide it under a bushel? No. Hide it under a bushel? No. I'm going to let it shine. All right? You put your light out. Don't put it out. Just put it away. Amen. Don't put it out. We've had too many people put their lights out. We need to let them shine. Isn't that what Jesus said? He said, if you hide your light, He said, hide. Under a bushel. Don't hide your light now. Under a bushel. Now, what's a bushel? Who's a country boy in here? Raise your hand if you're a country boy. Brother Grant's a country boy. What's a bushel, Brother Grant? Amen. You ever picked any green beans? That's why I don't eat them today. I picked them green beans. I'm going to tell you right now, on the tip of my fingers, I picked them and snapped them and strung them. Whew! Y'all, preacher, that ain't work. You must not have picked them for my grandma. Amen. Man, them June bugs fly all around you. You know what a June bug is, right? Everybody know what June bugs are, man. They'd be flying a kamikaze. Them things are. All right, let me get back on the message. Listen to me. A bushel. Now, when I think of bushel, like Brother Grant said, I think of work, labor. Now, listen to me now. Jesus wants to teach us something here. You know why a lot of people are not letting their light shine. You're going to be surprised to hear this from the preacher, but I'm telling you what the Bible teaches. Their work has just took their life over. Your work has took your life over. You can't read the Bible. Let me rephrase that. You don't read the Bible. You don't serve God. You're so caught up in labor that your light's under a bushel. Labor. He said, y'all let your light shine like a city on a hill. He said, but don't now hide it under a bushel. Don't get so caught up in things outside of life that really don't matter when all is said and done. Can I tell you, Jesus wants to be first. Now there's a man, and I'm not going to tell you who he is. He knows who he is, and he came to me and he told me, you know what, I quit my job. I said, wow. Know why I quit my job? God told me to. I wasn't able to let my light shine there because of some things. Can I tell you, I respect you, sir. I respect you. You put Jesus in his right place, and you'll never do without. Amen. Never. Amen. Never. Never. I've had to quit a job. I've had to quit a job because they come to me and said, we're going to start working on Sundays. I said, y'all are. Amen. Yep, working on Sunday. Won't be able to do that. Not going to work on the Lord today. That's the Lord's day. Amen. You see, you get to working 7 days a week. You go against what Jesus and God says, which is 6 days a week. Now hear me. Didn't say 4 days either. I mean, a lot of us get unbalanced and go to the seven, but I want to get you back, you know, to the four. Some people want to work 3 days and 4 days, 6 days. But some people so busy with that bushel, their light's hid under it. Don't let that bushel hide your... Listen, that bushel stands for labor. It does. That's why your light's not shining in the city. Well, won't you come to a church activity? Well, I got to work. Won't you come to church? Well, I got to work. You'd be amazed. Where's Brother North? Brother North will tell you. Brother Dan. Brother Dan and I, Brother North and I, we'll be out witnessing, talking to people, and we invite people to church. Their number one answer is, well, I got to work. Am I right? Am I right, brother? How many of you know what I'm talking about? Well, I got to work. Got to work. No, you don't have to work. You choose to. On the Lord's day, and you're messing up. If you're saved, you're hiding your light under a bushel. You say, I'll reach them there at work. Yeah, I know. They're gonna really listen to a lot you've got to say while your family's down there at the church worshiping and you're at work. Don't kid yourself. Under a bushel. Labor. Don't hide it now. Don't hide it. Now look in Luke chapter 8. Look, if you would, in verse number, Luke chapter 8. Look at verse 16. Now look what Jesus said about the light, right? You say, preacher, I got that thing settled. I'm going to serve God in my life. I'm not going to let work control me. I'm not going to let sports control me. I'm not going to let t-ball games and parties and these things. I'm going to put God in his rightful place first. I'm going to serve him. That's great. Let your light shine. Number two, what about in your home? Are you hiding? Are you hiding that light in your home? You say, can a light be hid in a house? Notice what Jesus said now. Look at it. Luke 8, verse 16. No man, when he hath lighted a candle, covereth it with a vessel, or putteth it under a bed. Isn't that something how Jesus added that? Under a bed. You see, when I think of the bushel, I think of labor. But when I think of the bed, I think of leisure. You know why a lot of people, their light's flickering? Because they are living their life for leisure. The next fun time. We are so entertained. Listen, America is drunk on entertainment. Drunk. All we want to do is have a big time. Can I tell you? There's nothing wrong with having a good time. But if your life is characterized by a big time, you're not living it right. We are servants. We are lights. And we are to let our light shine. And so Jesus said, now don't hide it under a bushel. Don't get so caught up and get busy. And then the bed, don't put it under the bed, lazy. Labor, the bushel, leisure. These two things will get us. The devil will get us any way he can. You say, well, he ain't going to get me. I ain't got a lazy bone in my body. That's good. But now don't go too far off the other end and work yourself out of letting your light shine. Right? Sometimes life is hard to have a balance. But a just man, God will lead in his way. Let's all stand. Is your light shining? I pray that it is. Is mine? We need to let our light shine. You say, preacher, I don't like this world that we live in. It's dark. It's frightening. It's scary. It is. It is. What can we do? Let your light shine. You say, I'm going to pray for our world. That's great. That's great. You pray. And as you pray, and as I pray, let's let our light shine. Is your light shining? Huh? People look at you, they see a Christian. When people look at you, they say, there goes a man of God right there. That's a man of God. There goes a couple that serves Jesus with their life. Hey, there's a family right there. Look at them. They care about souls. They care about God. Here's a family. They're in church. And they want to do what's right in their community and make a difference in the lives of those in the community. See, as Christians, brethren, that's not what we do. That's who we are. That's who we are. What about you? Is your light shining? Not really. I pray that it is. Let's bow our heads together. The pianist is going to come. On this Missions Emphasis Sunday, I think it's a great thing that we Skype with our missionaries and that we interact with them through letters and that we support them through giving and we pray for them and we have them in as we will tonight with Brother DeLuke and we hear from them and we get an update from the field and we hear for what God has laid on their heart moving forward in the ministry that He's called them to. But now what are we doing? Are we letting our light shine?